Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Sunday League Pundits presented by Betway. I'm your host, Waz, joined by my co-host, Brett Holden. How are we doing, Brett? How are we feeling? There's no camera on you if you're watching on video.
Yeah, I guess I should probably say that too. Yeah, I moved and I can't find the cable that connects to my camera.
Well, so. To be fair, we actually moved away from the Sunday League Pundits 90th Minute studio that we had for about a year, 2 years almost. Yeah. It was just time to move on, right? That's life. We decided it was probably best. It wasn't, you know, everybody's been so busy. It wasn't really being used to its fullest capabilities. So we thought, you know, we can do a lot of things online nowadays, and that's kind of how the 90th Minute originally took off, was over, you know, Discord and Zoom and all that. So kind of going back to the small roots, and, you know, a lot of podcasts nowadays still do shows over Zoom and whatnot.
Yeah, we still have access to other places as well. So
yeah.
And plus we have I'm so pumped for our next career mode as well. That'll be coming out. So. Mm-hmm. That we will be working on coming up this week too. So yeah, it'll be fun. But let's move into club football. And Waz, I was looking through today, we have a lot to talk about. We already talked about some of the changes, but in the world of club football, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about the storylines of the Premier League this season. We were looking through the table today. We're going, the amount of storylines and things that have happened just this season, Waz, I have a scenario for you that's going to blow your mind that happened this season in a second. So we'll talk about that. You also have a pretty interesting debate coming up about players and potential flops mm-hmm. from the past. So we're going to talk about that. And as mentioned, our Sunday League is starting up this year or this week, or well, coming week as well, but hopefully we're going to get a practice in there. But let's get into enough waffling. Yes, I was looking through the Premier League table today, and looking at the table, there is drama at the bottom of the table. There's drama at the top of the table. The amount of things that have happened in the middle of the table have been outstanding throughout the Premier League. But Waz, what if I reminded you of a time where Antonio Conte and Thomas Tuchel went and shook hands after a game and started going at it in between the benches after the game and like starting a scrum? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, it's been nearly a year ago, right? We're coming up. Was that August?
That was this season. That was the start of this season, Waz.
Jesus, it feels like we've been through so much. I mean, if you think about it, you know, like the World Cup felt like its own timeline, right? Like it was like the Champions League. It's like I remember all the hoopla about that, and you know, at the time you would think maybe Chelsea or Tottenham would be in a top four race right now or fighting for a title, and that's not been the case.
Yeah, and that was some of the things that I was going to mention. So, like I said,
I don't think at the time anyone really anticipated either manager to be sacked.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think I had Tottenham in my top four this year. Well, I mean, there's still, Well, yeah, maybe not anymore after that United game. But they did draw them. But either way, what I'm trying to say is there is drama at the top of the table with Arsenal eventually bottling it, which I have said from the start was going to happen. I want to go back. I'm going to go back and clip it and make sure everybody knows that I said Arsenal was fragile and going to bottle it. But either way, it still happened to City. But you know what is more interesting to me is the relegation battle. Also, what I called from the start of the season was, clip it, sir. Leicester City is in a relegation battle and is currently tied on points with Leeds and Nottingham Forest and Everton, who did draw Leicester recently. I believe that happened today after I watched it. I certainly watched Leicester. Either way, I will get back to that after my rant. Leicester City is in front of Everton by 1 point. They're in a relegation battle. They could go down as well. This is a crazy season with the amount of things that have been going on. What really stands out to you right now? And then I want to talk about Leicester City and Nottingham Forest.
I think what stands out to me is Nottingham Forest are currently 18th in the Premier League after they signed probably 18 players in the summer. They spent so much money, signed every player they could find to try and bolster their side for the Premier League, and they're looking like they're going back to the Championship. They're currently up with 30 points, Everton 29, Southampton 20, and also to see Everton 19th. Yeah. Well, that's a team that's been in the Premier League for X amount of years, as long as I've been watching football. Both Everton and I think Southampton have been in the Premier League. It feels like we're going into a new era of Premier League football if those two are going down, right? It's, you know, over the years, it kind of goes like you'll have a team that's been in the Premier League for years, eventually go down, and you also have a team from the Championship come up and find their way, like Brighton, for example, even Fulham. Fulham, you know, some people thought they weren't going to do much at all this year. And look at them. They're 10th. They're mid-table. Good for them. So I think every team right now in the relegation spot is kind of surprising, except for maybe Southampton. And, you know, for your sake and Liam's sake, Leicester.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that insane? Because, again, we have talked about this over and over and over again. But if they go down, who on Leicester City? Oh, by the way, I did want to mention, Everton did draw Leicester City on Monday. And then on Tuesday last week, Leeds drew them 1-1 as well. So that was where I was getting confused. But as we were mentioning with Leicester City, when they go down, and yes, I said when they go down, who is going to be on this squad? Because there is nobody who is going to want to play for Leicester City if they go down. It is absolutely beneficial for them to be able to stay up, or they will have next to no team at all. Jamie Vardy will be the only one who stays, only because he signed the contract. Soyuncu already agreed to a contract with Atletico Madrid. The amount of players that they also – Yuri Tielemans is gone. James Maddison is gone. Harvey Barnes is gone. Wilfred Ndidi is gone. Everybody is gone. Iheanacho, Daka, all of them are gone.
Yeah.
Still need to find a keeper.
I'm looking at the squad, you know. I think probably the one player you could probably see staying is like the likes of Danny Ward, who's 29. He's worth $8 million. Soyuncu's gone, I'm pretty sure. I think he
signed a contract already with that.
Maybe, I don't know, Timothy Castagna maybe could stay.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, there's Harvey Barnes. Probably like, a lot of these players are gone. I'm sorry.
Gone.
There's no player that you can say. Every player on Leicester except for Danny Ward will likely be up for sale.
Yes.
There will be a suitor for every player on Leicester right now. Someone will come flocking, and they'll accept bids, right? Because they're going to need money. You know, it's They're going to have to rebuild somehow and find a way to claw back into the Premier League because it's not going to be easy. The championship is very competitive. And yeah. Continue.
And the only way, the only reason Danny Ward stays on this team is because he's the most championship player on the squad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at transfer market right now. He's valued at 8 million euros or pounds. So take it as you will.
Yeah.
There's a few players in that Leicester City squad that are worth, you know, 30 million, 20 million. And do you really want to keep those players while you're in the championship? I mean, unless some of these players are committed to bringing the club back, maybe they want to fight to come back to the Premier League. But the championship's grueling, man. It's like a 48, 42 game race.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we talk about like the amount of matches in the Premier League because the Champions League and fixture congestion. Look at the championship, man. It's
dude, wild. I'm looking at the championship right now because you mentioned you were talking about like who's going to be coming up. Burnley's going to be coming up. I believe I was just looking at it as well. I believe it was Middlesbrough who is also coming up. Sorry, they're in the championship. Sheffield United is coming up. Middlesbrough is in the playoff. Luton Town is in the playoff, mm-hmm. which you have seen their away end coming in, right? Have you seen that video?
I don't think so. Maybe.
So when you come into the away end at Luton Town's stadium, mm-hmm. you walk through the backyards of people's houses. That is going to be in the Premier League, Waz.
That's actually fantastic.
Right? Like there are washing lines, like drying lines through the stairs of the stadium when you're walking in. Just because there are, it's in a housing area. It's insane. But I was looking at, because you know Sunderland's my squad. Sunderland has a game against one more game because they play 46 matches, I believe, in the championship. They have one more game in the championship against Preston on Monday. And then they are 2 points away from being in the playoff behind Millwall, and Millwall plays against Blackburn Rovers on May 8th. They could make the playoff as well. But like you said, the championship is grueling. The championship is very grueling. And like Liam said, and I'm not saying that they could become the next Sunderland, but Sunderland saw a very, very ungraceful fall because a lot of people left after they went to the championship. Leicester City could face the same fate.
But I think Leicester have a slight advantage in that their players are actually valued something. I don't know how much that can really benefit the club. Like,
true.
If you look at a player like James Maddison, what is he truly valued at? Because transfer market has him valued at $55 million. But, like, I think a team that'll go after him is probably Manchester United. They could probably use a player like James Maddison, but do you really want to pay for a player who's been kind of injury prone and we haven't really seen the best out of him in a few years? Like how much Paul is James Pogba, Maddison? You mean? Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's interesting. I don't know how much James Madison's really valued at. Is $55 million the right price tag?
God no. Absolutely no. But I guess so. Yes. Yes, it is. I guess because of the market, but I wouldn't pay that. I would pay like 35 maybe.
Like,
but I understand why.
Cut you off. Leicester City's market. So Leicester City's midfield market value right now is 173 million. Their defense is 161 million and their attack is 98 million. I believe this is in pounds. No, this is euros. Euros.
Even if they get between 91 to 120 of that value, they'd be able to get, well, not even if they're able to get between 91 to even 110 mil, even 100, they're in good shape to get back into the Premier
also,
League next season.
You have to find ways to replace some of these players, right? You can't just offload and not have players to come back. 100%. Like, you know, also Ricardo Pereira, man, like that guy used to be one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League.
Yeah.
One injury and now he's worth 12 million euros. Like, so Yunchu, I remember there was a time where he was hailed as one of the best defenders in the Premier League and no one really talked to him. Like,
I remember absolutely victimized in the Euros, man. Yeah. Turkey was this sleeping giant, and then he went into the Euros and just went.
Yeah. It was bad. Remember, 2020. So Yunchu named part of Premier League Team of the Year.
Dude, I hyped him up so hard, too.
Wow.
That was so dumb.
And then, I mean, obviously he had an injury, and it just derails you, man. That's football.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and that was, I believe it was an early season injury, if not like preseason injury.
Jesus Christ. Have you seen the 2020 Team of the Year? So the 2020 Premier League Team of the Year had Mane up front, Jamie Vardy, Aubameyang. In the midfield, you had, I'm pretty sure, Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, Henderson, Robertson in the back. So Yunchu, Van Dijk, Trent, and Nick Pope. So that was the year, obviously, you know, Liverpool won. That was the COVID year. They won it, and they had no fans there. And yeah, that was a tie. Oh, never mind. That was David Silva, not Bernardo Silva.
That's even better.
Jesus Christ.
That's so much better.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Yeah, that's all I could say. So Yunchu once in the team of the year, and now he's worth 10 million, 12 million. It's crazy.
Just how the mighty have fallen, right, Harry Maguire. Alrighty. We'd spent a lot of time at the bottom, spent a lot of time dumping on Leicester City, rightfully so. Let's kind of move up here. Let's talk about, we talk about a lot of Chelsea, rightfully so, because they're sitting in 12th right now. 9 points. Let's not forget about this, though. Chelsea is 9 points out of a relegation spot at the moment. Where Tottenham, Liverpool, Manchester United, Newcastle United, just as everybody expected, Arsenal and Manchester City are the top six teams. But I want to talk specifically about Brighton. Brighton had this unbelievable start to the year. Graham Potter looked like the next Sir Alex Ferguson, basically. He gets the look after Tuchel gets fired. Does not go very well with Chelsea. Now he gets sacked and Brighton's sitting, well, not too far out of a potential spot for European football, but not as close as they did before. You were really high on Brighton, but right now, last five games, win, loss, win, loss, win. So what's going on with Brighton?
Oh, I don't think anything's really happening. I mean, they just defeated Wolves 6-1, and they lost to Forest 3-1. Like, you know, some results haven't gone their way, but, you know, I think that's just... They've had an impressive season so far, right? I don't think anything's wrong. I think they've got a good, really good manager in Zerbi. I haven't watched them too closely recently, but I just think they're in one of those slumps where it's like win loss, win loss, win loss. It's not like nothing's really wrong. It's just maybe a lot of matches, fatigue could be setting in, injuries. I haven't really looked at the way they've played, so it's hard to say with Brighton. But they've had a impressive season nonetheless, and they can still get Europe, right? Like they're 2 points back of fifth. I mean, 2 points back of sixth. So they can definitely cause some, you know, upsets here and there. They play Arsenal, they play Man City, and then some of the Newcastle, Southampton, Villa. Like I think they can probably get some big points here.
Yeah, but think about how big they were at the start of the season. They beat United in the start of the season. They had they went on an unbeaten run for a little bit to start the year. Then they slaughter Leicester 5-2, draw Liverpool 3-3. Like, they had a really good start to the season, beat Chelsea. And then Potter leaves, because he goes and takes the opportunity, as he should, but then he gets sacked. Like,
I
don't know, maybe there's more of a, less than a question about Brighton and more of a question about Graham Potter.
I think for Brighton, the mission was to do better than last season, and so far they've done that. Last season they finished in ninth with 51 points. So far this year they're in eighth with 52 points. So if they can get a few more points, potentially get seventh or sixth, you know, mission accomplished. They did better than last year. You know, you can only go up, and that's what they've done. So credit to them. I think they're right where they're supposed to be, and they definitely want more.
Fair. I guess where I'm trying to go is this is less of a question about Brighton and more of a question about Graham Potter.
Oh, okay.
Because then, but I 100% agree with you. I guess I do agree with what you're saying there about Brighton. But Potter's gone. I guess more the question is, did he make the right decision?
Financially, yes.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
He, you know, when a contract like that comes your way, it's hard to say no. And especially for a club like Chelsea, like, think about it. Your Graham Potter at the time, this fat contract comes your way, and you have an opportunity to, you know, manage one of the most popular, best teams in England on paper. You have a chance to, you know, possibly manage in the Champions League in Europe, you know, maybe push for a Premier League title with the, you know, financial backing. And everything just did not go his way. You know, the players, I think he just had trouble managing that kind of squad, some of the egos. You know, I think that's probably the case. Just some of those players were so popular in their head, and it's tough to manage superstars. And I think that's what really went wrong with Potter.
Did I tell you in Toronto when I was walking to the Toronto FC game, I saw a Mudryk Chelsea kit?
I mean, if you're a Ukrainian and you're a Chelsea supporter,
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. I thought the exact same thing, but I walked past him and I was like, nice, cool kid. Okay, enough ragging on Chelsea. Enough ragging on Chelsea. Last thing.
I'll say one thing about Chelsea.
Okay.
I got a sneaking suspicion. Hot take about Chelsea. They finished 15th in the league.
Whoa! Oh, my! Really?
To finish the season, Chelsea of Man City, Man United, and Newcastle. How many points do we see them taking out of those games? They can barely win a game as it is.
Man, maybe one against United. Maybe one against United if United is sleeping.
Chelsea haven't won a game since like March 11th in the Premier League.
That is horrendous.
My eyes deceiving me?
Chelsea's next game is also against Arsenal, by the way.
There you go. So I don't like they have Forest coming up, and that's theirs and Bournemouth. You can get maybe 6-4 points out of that.
Forest is also fighting again for relegation too.
What is Chelsea fighting for? Conference League?
No, not even. They're not even close. So they are not even. They have 39 points. Liverpool is 56.
Don't be surprised if Chelsea finish 15th in the Premier League.
I like it. I like it a lot. Okay. Last thing I want to talk about in the Premier League. Okay. Before we talk about United, because we haven't talked about United, and then we'll move on. I know, but we have to talk about United, I guess. But last thing I want to mention, this is more of a quick quiz question for you. Name the most boring squad in the Premier League. Go.
The most boring squad in the Premier League?
Yes.
Ooh. Am I...
You know who it is. There's one right answer.
Tottenham?
No, but...
Liverpool?
No. You're thinking too big, too big.
Chelsea.
Too big.
I've never been excited about Chelsea.
That's also fair. You're still thinking too big.
West Ham?
Still too big, but not a bad guess.
Most boring squad in the Premier League?
Yeah.
Fulham.
No.
Bournemouth.
No.
Wolves. Holy shit.
Yes, absolutely Wolves. Absolutely Wolves. Minus 21 in goal differential. They have 29 goals. 29 goals. Only two teams that have less are Everton, who's 19th, and Southampton, who is 20th. Like, grow up. Grow up. This team should be so much better. So much better. The squad that they have is, like, objectively really good. Objectively really good. And they're just shit. Shit every year. Ruben Neves, unbelievable player. Semedo, great player. Johnny, I like Johnny. João Moutinho, baller. Daniel Podence, underrated baller. Mario Lemina, I kind of like him as well. Neto, great. Adama Traore is disappointing, but he is absolutely streets won't forget. Raul Jimenez has fallen off, but understandably, he had a horrendous injury. Hwanghee Chan, electric. Mateus Cunha, very good player. Diego Costa is on this freaking team, man. Like, this is should be a much more exciting team to watch, and they're so boring.
I honestly forgot Diego Costa existed until he joined Wolves. I thought that guy just disappeared from football and then life in general. You never heard about him, and then he comes back. I think he went to Brazil for a bit.
I think you're right. I think you're
right. And China.
China. Guangdong Tigers. Ni hao. 50 goals against as well. 50 goals against. This team, like, Jose Sa is not a pushover goalkeeper either. But the thing is, too, like, they still win matches. I mean, they've lost 17, so also not great. But they when they win matches, it's like 1-0. You're like, why are we out here? What are we doing here? It's such frustrating ball to watch because you want to see them. I don't know. Maybe it is the players. It could very well be the players. But it's so upsetting because they should be better. 2-0 against Crystal Palace, 2-0 against Brentford, 1-0 against Chelsea. Like, it's boring. 1-0 against Wolves. Like, so boring, dude.
Yeah, and then, I mean, they got four more Premier League matches left. They've got Villa, United, Everton, and Arsenal. And, you know, the team really kind of above them in the standings, I believe, is Chelsea and Bournemouth. And, you know, it really, like, don't be surprised. Like, that's why I'm not saying, that's why I'm saying Chelsea may finish 15th is because of, you know, so I don't know. It's tough. Maybe 14th, but. Yeah, well, Wolves, nothing really stands out to me about them then. Not anymore. They used to be like a, you know, top eight, top 10 team, so.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. When Nuno was there, absolutely. That was the thing. Nuno left, and they just haven't been able to catch that lightning in a bottle again. Almost relegated last year, too. Like, it's unfortunate. But you mentioned as well, just I want to give a quick shout-out, too, because – not a lot of props given to Bournemouth coming into the season, but 13th is nice, so that's good for them. Okay.
I just want to mention one thing. I mentioned we mentioned Diego Costa and how he went to China. Throwback to Oscar, who used to play for Chelsea, who generally just left for China and has stayed there ever since. He's still in China. He plays for Shanghai Port. He's been there from 27 to 2022, and I guess he wants to be a club legend. I mean, fair play.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ,
the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
He made a lot of money, which is that's fine. That's cool. And maybe he was the type of player who just didn't want to be in the spotlight. Like, he loved playing football. He played for the Brazilian national team. And I think the pressures of playing in the Premier League and in European football, probably he didn't enjoy it. You know, I think when you're an up-and-coming footballer, young footballer, you want that life. You want to be in the spotlight. You want to be a star. Then you kind of get a taste of it, and you're like, I don't like this too much. So I guess, you know, he saw China calling. He saw the paycheck. Like, this is good. I can make sure my family is well off for decades, and I will just play my game here. I like the game. I just don't like the spotlight.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm looking at his stats by club. He's played 203 matches for Chelsea, 13,111 minutes he played in 203 matches. For Shanghai Port, in 179 matches, has played 15,629 minutes. So in less games, he's played in more minutes.
And after the 2014 FIFA World Cup, he only played one more game for Brazil, and it was a friendly against France. I think so.
Huh.
No, that was the last time he scored for Brazil. Oh, but that's still going back all the way to 2015. So,
good point. Okay, let's move on to, because I know we want to talk about United. So let's talk about United. What's on your mind about United?
Interesting results this past week. They got a win against Villa and they drew Spurs. And unfortunately, we were really hoping they would pull a couple points off Spurs, but they drew. And I'm trying to think.
How about David De Gea? Talk about David De Gea.
Well, you seem to hate David De Gea, even though he has the most clean sheets in the Premier League.
I think I said this in the chat, but I may not have finished it. Clean sheets is also a team stat, I think, as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're also counted towards, like, players, too. So, I think that also has some validity to official stats. But I think at times United have been one of the better teams defensively when Varane and Lisandro Martinez have been healthy. Obviously, they're not right now. And we saw specifically that play with Harry Maguire, I think it was against Sevilla, where he was given the ball back from David De Gea, and it was a dumb ball to give back to him. He had no place to go. He was trapped, and he gives up the ball, and Sevilla go and score. And it's bad decisions. He can't move the ball. He makes some clutch saves, obviously. He's an unbelievable goalkeeper. He has been a world-class goalkeeper. I don't think the game has gone past him, but I don't think that being the starting goalkeeper for Man United is his job next season for Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they will go out and find a new keeper. It's tough to say because I don't think Man United's biggest problem is in net right now. I think if you look at, goal differential, they have 49 goals. Arsenal 78, Man City have 84. They need to score more, and they need a striker who can really work well with Rashford and Antony, I think, and Sancho scoring here and there, but they truly need another striker. And I think they need to find a striker that suits the team, not just for the sake of getting a striker, just for the sake of spending money and finding one. They need to find the right player who plays well with the system and Ten Hag. And it's interesting about Ten Hag. I remember after that. So do you know the FIFA YouTuber streamer AA9 Skills?
Yeah, and that name rings a bell. Yeah,
he's gone viral a lot on TikTok for his football takes, and recently on Twitter, he said, "Ten Hag, he's not him." Even though it's funny, is that AA9 Skills a couple months ago said, oh, Ten Hag's the man for United. This guy's cooking. Man United are back. It's incredible how people can just live in the moment.
Yeah.
They see things going wrong and they think this guy's not it. Right? Like, Lucas always brought it up on the 90th minute when we first started. You know, so it's so easy to be a prisoner of the moment in football. Right? It's just, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
People's opinions can change in a minute.
I completely agree. No, I think that that's very valid. That's a very good point. I can also, just to play devil's advocate, but again, I agree with what you're saying. I think that's, I think it's 100% accurate. I think just, again, to play devil's advocate, when opinions change, there's also a chance, and there should be naturally the space to give it that. Opinions should be able to change when different facts are presented as well, or facts are changed as well, or as the facts move, because numbers change as games move on. You're only good as your last performance, right? So things are always changing, especially in the sports world. So your opinion can change very quick because facts can change very quickly in the sports world. And I think opinions should change as facts change. That just shows that you're thinking on your own. But I do agree with what you're saying, 100%. They need to score. I think they're doing the right steps to secure those steps to get the scoring. It seems like they're going after Harry Kane, who I think is the ideal player for United to go after. If not, Osimhen, I think, is good too. There are other options. But I agree with you as well that scoring is the top priority, but that doesn't mean that you forget about the other things that you also need to work on in the future as well. They need some help in the midfield too. Sometimes they have not looked great coming back. Sometimes you look at their midfield and go, where is their midfield, right? There's opportunities for them to grow and get better in the midfield. They have also young players that they can integrate into their lineup. But a thing to also think about is that David De Gea is getting older. He's not getting any younger. None of them are. So it's just a matter of time. You can't expect him to be healthy for a full season too. So get somebody else in there who you're trying to get. Jack Butland isn't getting any games for a reason. And Dean Henderson isn't going to see a pitch anywhere near Manchester United for a very long time after the shit that he said just over the last couple of years. Oh, I don't want coach to see me in practice because maybe he'll want to keep me. Shut up. But United has an issue with goalkeeping. In the goalkeeping, just like the Oilers did after last year with Mike Smith, and he's getting older. The Oilers didn't have much of a system. They need to create that system again, right? That's what needs to happen with Man United.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this on the kickback crossover with Caroline. Well, presented by Betway. It's just how the modern keeper is. Also, you have to be able to be, you know, able to work with the ball in your feet. And unfortunately, De Gea has not really been very good at that.
Yeah.
And I think it's been getting worse as he's gotten older. So he's a club legend. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. He's stuck by the club for so long through some of this dark period that they've been through now, Ten Hag's here. And is there anything else you want to talk about Man United?
No, Man United. No, let's move on, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You had a tweet that you wanted to bring up because, and I think this is a really good debate. What's this debate that you want to talk about here?
So this Twitter user who is pretty big on football Twitter, put out this little thing that caused a little bit of a firestorm. Let me see if I can find it. I saw it just earlier here. Can I find it? I must've liked it. I had it.
Here
it is. So he posted this. Who is the one player that was glorified in the past that will flop in the modern game? Mod says, I'll start Ryan Giggs.
Ooh.
I think he's thinking of Ryan Giggs in, like, you know, the late 2000s where he's in his 30s, kind of going to his 40s. Ryan Giggs in the 90s, early 2000s had blistering pace, which I think would really suit today's game considering how fast paced it is. And I think he would also adapt to the modern game with his speed, which would be just so much fun to watch. You know, you look at someone like Mane and Salah, who had so much speed, and the way Jurgen Klopp was really able to get the most of that. So I don't think Ryan Giggs would be a flop. Maybe sure in his later years, but that's football. But if we're talking about like Ryan Giggs in his prime, I think he'd be fine in the modern game.
I saw this stat. I think I did see that tweet. I didn't see what the first part read, but I did see the Ryan Giggs part. And I saw somebody respond, go, Ryan Giggs, domestic trophies, 35. Chelsea's domestic trophies, 34.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Ryan Giggs is – I think that's a bad call there.
Some people are saying David Beckham.
Okay. Listen, Waz. I have been a long detractor of voicing this opinion, but I strongly agree with that opinion.
Are you saying David Beckham is overrated or was overrated?
David Beckham is an unbelievable footballer. But would you not think that David Beckham would be a little bit,
man,
James Madison-ish?
Kind of. I think you might be onto something. Like,
oh, I can hear the opinions now. Oh, you're the man, No, I don't know, man. He'd
be a good midfielder. One person said might be a hot take, but Beckham as a right wing, his career stats are very subpar. Okay, but I mean, we can't really bring in stats. Stats isn't a great indication of how good a player is. You know, you could have poor stats and still be a fantastic footballer, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I'm trying to think here.
Okay,
Beckham sounds like it could be it.
Listen, 2001, 2002, most amount of goals he ever had in a single season, 11. 97, 98, the second most amount of goals, which was tied with 2000, 2001 with 9. He had a lot of assists. He had a good amount of assists, which was what he was. He was a ball distributor. 15 assists in 99, 2000, 13 in 97, 98. And in 2011 in the MLS, he had 13. But his top 4 or 5 is with Man United. He was very good at moving the ball. And he great free kick. Great at taking free kicks. A magician with the ball. But again, I think, and not necessarily one-dimensional, but maybe the argument can be made that the team around him made him better.
I think the player that would flop in the modern game would be probably Michael Owen.
Oh, that's a good call too. I'm very much behind that too. He's kind of who I kind of compare him to. I can 100% get behind that. Yeah, that's kind of sad, but I can get behind that. Are we
actually? I mean, no, I was going to say Miroslav Klose, but he also, like, he was just very good at World Cups.
He was very good. I liked Miroslav Klose.
Like Michael Owen won the Ballon d'Or, to be fair, in 2001. He scored 18 goals in the Premier League in 98-99, and then 97-98, he scored 18 goals. So, honestly, Michael Owen would be just, you know, a good striker at any Premier League club. Maybe. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's
like Jamie Vardy.
look at Erling Haaland, who's scoring 30 goals already.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say, like, is it because I haven't seen and watched any Michael Owen, but like,
I think we're getting a little like English bias. You know who I think was kind of underrated on the flip side? Peter Crouch.
Yeah.
I always loved Peter Crouch.
Freddie Ljungberg?
I don't know who that is.
Okay, he's a Celtic player. Maybe a bit for Liam, but...
Oh, yeah, Liam would be... Liam's at my neck right now. But I don't give a shit.
I think, honestly, I know we're going back to... There's a lot of Man United players that could... who really were able to excel because of Alex Ferguson. Alex Ferguson was the type of manager who can just get the best out of a lot of players. He demanded a lot out of his players, and I think his players love playing for him. But I think maybe Vidic. I don't know if Vidic.
No. I can't, sir. I am holding this microphone like Leonardo DiCaprio.
And that's no disrespect to Vidic. I think Vidic. Wolf
of Wall Street. I need you to understand how wrong you are with what you just said.
I think Vidic was perfect for his era.
You are. I'm sorry. I have to say this. You are meat riding Jamie Carragher right now. So hard.
He's a guy who wouldn't do well in the modern era.
100%, but he wasn't a fucking star.
Yes, he was. He was one of the best players that Liverpool had in the back.
Okay, fair enough. He was very good.
I'm just reading off the one tweet I found about Vidic. It's because a lot of defenders would not work in a modern high line. That does kind of make sense. A lot of those players, they were more used to the slower tempo of football back then. They didn't need the speed. I think today as a modern defender, you need pace.
Slower tempo.
100%.
Have you watched the Premier League in like 2002, 2004?
Yeah, it was very slow. It's not as high paced as today. And today you need pace, unfortunately. That's how it is. It's like any
maybe the fast breaks the breakouts are quicker.
Vidic was a great one on one tackling hard nosed defender. Like the question is, would even Roy Keane be good in this modern era? I don't think so.
Yes, he would. He would 100% be.
God, it's a lot of United players that we're calling out here, eh?
Yes. Oh, 100%.
What about the Italians? Like,
I know I was looking through the Italian team too, but there's no one really that I was.
And yes, to Xavi, they would do fine. Torres would do fine. Like a lot of the
Spain or the Spanish kids are fine too.
I think Gattuso is the one Italian that kind of stands out to me. Like, I don't know.
You know who it would be, and it would just be unfair judgment. It would 100% be Ronaldinho, because it would 100% be Ronaldinho only because everybody would say he's so flashy, he's doing blah, 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 blah. As soon as he would have a little bit of a slide, people go, oh, look, oh, no flish flash, blah, 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 he's taking a bath. Like, he would be just like Neymar or Antony or something like that. He would just get so many unnecessary comments because of how flashy he was. Although, like, the numbers again would back it up and he would be very good. Just so many people would be like, oh, just play the game.
That's interesting. Would Ronaldinho excel in the modern game? That's interesting question, because you look at players like Neymar, you look at Antony, and they do all these tricks, and they get criticized for them. But to be fair, I mean, Neymar is probably the best when it comes to that Brazilian flair. Antony is coming up, it's hard to really cement that in the Premier League. Even Cristiano Ronaldo, when he was doing his step overs, he got criticized for that in the Premier League. It's interesting. It's funny how Ronaldinho and all do these tricks against Premier League clubs, and the Premier League clubs would lose.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, and again, that's not me saying that I think Ronaldinho is overrated by any means. He was one of my favorite players growing up. I loved Ronaldinho. I just think that, just think about how Twitter, and I think it boils down to Twitter. All of it comes down to Twitter and how people would talk about Twitter or talk about him on Twitter. And that would just resonate with everybody. So I think it would have to be, not have to be, but it would be Ronaldinho. I think he could get tossed in there too.
All right, Brett, I think we've been on this topic for a little while now.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, man. Like, because, you know, you think they're glorified for a reason, right?
Yeah.
There's one thing I wanted to bring up, and it is United related again. I'm sorry, but this was very, very interesting, actually. Let me see if I can find it. I think I had it. Oh, here it is. Ipswich. Have scored the most goals out of any team in England's top four leagues.
Oh, yes.
Do you know who their forward coach is?
I do, but I will let you announce it for the anticipation.
Former Man United backup keeper, Lee Grant.
Isn't that insane? That's so weird.
Yep.
Like, because I remember how much, and this isn't necessarily a conspiracy theory. This is just a theory maybe that I've been thinking about. But I wonder how much when he wasn't playing so much at the end of his career, just being paid to hold up the substitution board. I wonder how much of his contract was being paid just to basically learn to be a coach or being on the staff. Because you look at Michael Keane right now too.
Yeah.
Right?
And Michael Carrick is doing well. Michael Carrick. Yeah, Michael Keane. A lot of former United guys. But
that was Michael Keane. Michael Carrick.
Yes, Michael Keane's a former defender. He's still playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. There we go. That's what I'm talking
about. Jesus. Oh,
it's late. I've been moving.
Yeah.
Yes. Michael Carrick. That's exactly who I'm talking about. Think about when he came and managed United after Ollie moved too. Like, they have been moving up in the standings as well. Interesting to kind of see potentially the coaching breeding ground that United might be pumping out here.
Yeah. Let's move on to Sunday League. Our Sunday League is about to get fired up here next week, Tuesday. It's 6:30 for us start. The Hampton Oilers play probably at 8 o'clock, Brett. So, yeah, it'll be interesting how we can manage that. I'm going to try and go to the game, our game. I want to play. I want to get some fitness in. Yesterday and today, I went to our football pitch to just try to do some cardio, play with the ball a bit. Holy shit, I'm out of shape. Three sprints towards like the halfway pitch, half of the pitch. I even like fucking gassed me. It's ridiculous.
Oh, dude, I have a bike where I'm at now, so I'm gonna be hitting the bike here. But no, I did the same thing, taking the ball out. I my goal this year is I want to get better at long distance shots because that's where I'm gonna be mostly this year at CDM. So I want to be able to get a ball, and take a shot. But the ball that I went out with wasn't fully pumped, so I was just sending shots over the net. So I need a ball that's pumped up here.
So Greg,
yeah,
is our owner of the Sunday League team, and I saw him just before this podcast. I was handing him a card, and he's like, "Yeah, well, at least you'll be on the bench."
What did that mean?
Well, that means there's a better player than me at right back. Thank God. No, honestly, our coach Pope. Our coach's name is Pope, and he's fired up for the season. He really thinks we have a really good squad on, like, if everyone's together. Like, he sent me a text this afternoon. He's like,
he's really pumped, eh?
He's like,
this is
the let me see. I'm trying to figure it out here.
He's like,
I just saw that he said, I am erect at this team.
Holy fuck.
So he is amped. Like, he thinks we can literally beat the top teams and go on a. It's just, yeah.
I'm pumped, dude. I genuinely am pumped.
He's really pumped to get tires on this team, and he thinks he can really get a lot of it out of it.
We have, dude, and you weren't there on Sunday. There is a possibility that Maddie gets on this team.
Yeah, I heard.
Dude, imagine all of us are on the team. Luke is on the team. Greg is coaching. I don't know. I think Greg is coaching. I don't know if he's playing. But if we have – if our goalkeeper comes, we're going to have a good goalkeeper. If he doesn't, my buddy is going to be showing up and playing for us too. He's a good goalkeeper who's been playing for a long time. We have a lot of really good players who are showing up. Don't we have like a Div 1 striker showing up too?
Yeah.
We're going to be bumping, dude. If we really get clicking here, I do think too that we can really prove some teams wrong here. I think we can potentially get promoted. My buddy, did you hear what so I added two of my buddies are on the team this year. So yeah. I got a couple buddies to join. My one buddy, did you hear what he said to Pope when they were talking about joining? He messages Pope and he goes, if I play or when we play, I will get us promoted. Not I can get us promoted. He said, I will get us promoted. So we're going up, baby.
He's going to demand a lot of some of these players, I think. Oh, God.
I'm so pumped, dude. I really am pumped. I haven't played, so I need to get my cardio in really bad. I haven't played ball hockey in like a month. Indoor ended like 2 months ago. So I really need to get my cardio going, but I can't wait for this season.
Yeah, I'm excited to have a team where there's more than 10 guys on a pitch.
Dude, yeah. That's
have a bench. Yeah. We're going to have a bench. Like, that was our biggest problem last year, but anything else you want to mention, Brett?
I do want to mention that this is Sunday League Pundits. We want to talk about your Sunday leagues as well. So always remember that you can hit us up on any of our social medias with some of your Sunday League stories. We want to talk about your stories. We want to talk about your crazy goals, crazy referees, crazy opponents, crazy parents at games. We want to talk about all that type of stuff because it's the beautiful game, and what would it be without the shared experience? So make sure you message us, DM us on any of our social medias, and we will try and get to them, and we will read them on the podcast here.
Thank you for tuning into Sunday League Pundits presented by Betway. See you next week.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.